There she is. Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas is going to explain what just happened. You hear Susan every Friday with us at 3:40, thanks to the Keller Graduate School of Management. But today, it's a freebie. Today, she's here to try to explain what in the hell has just happened.
Exactly. Special circumstances.
Yes. We have an emergency here, Susan.
Sure.
An emergency.
We broke the glass and Susan arrives. We need it. We need to understand what the heck's going on.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's a continuation of Friday. So the markets are really reacting to Brexit, which is Britain's declaration and vote that they're going to leave the European Union. And so that was completely unexpected. The vote was held last Thursday in the referendum. The results came out late Thursday night. And so the U.S. market started reacting to it on Friday. And that has continued. So we're seeing that today. The market closed today. It's down, the S&P is down 1.8%, so almost 2%. And we're really seeing this quite orderly sell-off. So it's not a panic. It's just people not wanting to step in and buy just yet. They want to see where things settle out. So there's not a panicked rush to the doors, but there is a lack of buyers. And so there are people that are moving to cash. We are seeing a lot of movement into safe havens. So utilities, REITs, healthcare, and importantly, U.S. Treasuries. So the U.S. Treasury has gotten a lot of demand, and when that happens, the yield on it, the interest rate actually goes down. So our interest rate on the 10-year Treasury now is 1.44%. It hasn't been that low since 2012.
So what does that mean for investors or people who want to get mortgages, car loans?
It's great for people who want to get mortgages. It's great for people who want to get car loans. It's actually really positive for the U.S. consumer because it means interest rates are going to stay down, so you don't have to worry about it. So that's a stimulus, actually, for the consumer and also for small business. Small business does very well in a low interest rate environment. What it is a negative for is people who are relying on savings or interest rate from the bank and that interest income, because it says that it's still going to be quite a while before interest rates come back up, where the banking sector is going to be able to pay interest on savings. That's just not going to happen anytime soon.
I saw Angela Merkel talk about how she'd like the UK to start the process of leaving the EU and kind of speed up the process, because she's saying her argument is this uncertainty is generating political and financial irrational behavior, and she's saying move forward with it. Do you foresee, though, that this instability eventually comes to a rest and ends as soon as Brexit is figured out, when they figure out all the rules about how they're going to handle it?
Well, it could come to an end, but it's unlikely, because even figuring it out is going to take about 2 years. Okay. So right. It doesn't happen overnight. The easy thing here is that Britain never adopted the euro. They kept the British pound as their currency. So when they have the British pound, it's much easier to say, all right, we're going to go back and be separate. And there's some mechanics that have to be sorted out. The current Prime Minister, Cameron, is going to resign. A new Prime Minister will come in. It isn't until they give the EU formal notification that they're going to leave that the clock starts ticking. And no one's ever done this before. No country has left the EU. Many have tried to join it and have joined it. No one's gone the other way. So this is an experiment that all of Europe is looking at. And I think what's making Angela Merkel and other leaders nervous, and everyone nervous, is they haven't seen this before. Could someone else do this? Now, the reality to that is it's much easier for Britain because of that British pound. So when you're on the EU already and you're using the euro as your currency, that's very difficult to untangle from, because then you have to create a new resurrect your old currency, get that back into circulation.
Maybe change the name. You put a couple other dictators on it.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, change it up. Make the bills more colorful. I don't know. New
Alexander
coins,
Hamilton ends
he's
up
popular.
On it because he's got a
money.
Hit
play. We don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So this is interesting, because let's talk about currencies for a second. The British pound is now at what, like $1.34, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, folks, if you're ever thinking about traveling to the United Kingdom, now is the time to go. So this is the lowest the British pound has been relative to the dollar in the last 30 years. So it's actually today at, I think, $1.31 now. And so typically it's about $1.50. A US dollars $1.50 gets you one British pound. And right now, Britain's on sale, because there is uncertainty about what's going on with the British pound and the currency and the economy in Britain, because going through this process of redoing trade negotiations, figuring out how they're going to relate to things in the EU, how do they extract themselves, there's a lot of uncertainty around that. So that's causing pressure, and people are saying, I don't want to own the pound, I'd rather own U.S. dollars. So they're swapping out. So the pound price is falling. If you happen to be a citizen of the U.S. that deals in U.S. dollars, you suddenly get that pound for about 10% less. So all of United Kingdom suddenly went on sale. So if you're thinking about going, now's a good time to go, because really it's been 30 years since we've seen this exchange rate.
All right, let's talk about this other thing that's happening in Chicago, because I don't – well, wait, even before we get that. So do you think this is going to settle out? In the week, the month, how long do you think it's going to take to sell?
Great question. For like nervous investors, because a lot of people aren't buying and selling and taking everything out like the professionals are. They're leaving it in.
Well, and the professionals, as I said, we're not seeing a rush to the exit. So the professionals aren't necessarily selling everything and stepping to the sidelines. It's been a very orderly day, and there hasn't been a lot of excess volume.
But you said so a rush to quality, and so people are sort of moving things around until things settle down.
You're seeing that in the currency. So that's where you're really seeing the pressure, where they're sitting on cash, which is not in the market, right? That's just cash on hand and current, whatever currency it may be in. You're seeing that move into safe currencies. And the U.S. dollar is considered one of the safest, most liquid currencies. So that's where things are going. So the dollar is getting stronger. And then, of course, people are getting out of the British pound. But I think that overall, it is a two-year process, or they have up to 2 years to complete this. With that up to 2 years, there are 19,000 trade agreements that need to be renegotiated. So I can't see them moving through this particularly quickly. And I think that it's just going to get drawn out. But what people should remember is this is not a financial crisis. This is a political disruption. And so it's a very different dynamic on the market, and it's a very different dynamic for the companies that are publicly traded. I think the businesses are still sound. This is more of an emotional reaction, because, once again, the market hates being surprised, and this was a massive surprise. So I think things will. I think the emotion will come out of it, and we'll get to the end of the summer, and this is actually going to be more of a – we'll get used to it. It's going to have to go on for a while, and I think it's going to become background noise.
Mm-hmm. Well, but there's – in Europe, though, it's an issue, because in Europe there is some – now this increasing sentiment by Scotland potentially to rethink maybe we want to get out of the British Empire and get back to the EU, because they voted to stay, despite what Donald Trump said when he landed his golf course. The Scots voted to stay.
As did Northern Ireland. So both of those regions voted to stay and stay aligned with the EU, and it didn't work out. Now, remember that Scotland 2 years ago tried to separate and be independent from the rest of the United Kingdom, and they had a referendum, so they had a vote on that. And the referendum to separate, it didn't win. It was very close, just as this Brexit, so remain or leave the EU, was very close. But it was 52-48 stay for Scotland 2 years ago. So it's somewhat unlikely, given all of this turmoil. Scotland's not going to make a big move until the rest of these things settle down. So there's a lot of talk about this, but again, I think it's going to be kind of difficult to execute. And so right now, I think it's a lot of talk and hypothetical thinking, but really it's more emotional venting than anything else.
All right, can you hold on 1 second for us? Because then the other side, I want to ask you about the mayor is asking the alderman to give him authority to buy the Chicago Public Schools debt. Now, I don't somehow
seems so strange, doesn't it?
Well, it doesn't sound right to me.
No.
It sounds like that's going to cost a lot of money, and we already have a city that's got enough trouble paying for itself and a state that can't pay for itself. What do you do? What do you do?
I don't know.
Could you hold on 1 second?
Of course.
Thank you. I think she thinks I'm crazy.
She knows that you get very
emotional.
Crazy and emotional,
yeah,
about some of these things.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she is now too well aware.
She manages it well.
Let us now stand by and listen to Violetta Pottermack with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas is joining us. She's our chief financial analyst at the Roe Contra with Anna DeVlantis.
Maybe she can explain this, because I read this story maybe three times about the bonds in the city, and I'm like, what is going on there?
and I do not understand it at all.
It's a little tricky.
So the mayor, essentially what the mayor wants to do, the CPS has got a lot of debt, but in order for it to float a bond, it's got to get the state to go along with it, right? So he wants to short circuit that and have the city buy the debt, pay the debt to the Chicago Public School System, and then sell its own bonds to cover the differential. No? Yes?
Mostly, yeah.
All right.
So the mayor of Chicago is trying to get around this problem because we're having so much trouble settling on a state budget, and Chicago Public Schools has, you know, is not in good financial condition. So the idea here is that the mayor is saying, you know, the city should be able to buy debt from CPS, and that way CPS will have a funding source. Because right now, Chicago Public Schools, their financial condition is we think, junk. So when we say junk, it means it's really risky. So it's very unlikely that they're going to be able to go out to the capital markets and raise money in normal circumstances because people are too worried about them as a surviving entity. So the mayor is trying to circumvent that process and saying, well, what if the city of Chicago gave them money and we would buy the debt? So effectively they're paying for the debt from the CPS. And that's a good idea in concept, and in fact it exists in many other cities. So in many other cities the city can buy other city agencies' debt. And it's not just Chicago Public Schools. It could be the Chicago Housing Authority, the Park District, the CTA, but Chicago, for whatever reason, we don't have that ability. So Chicago can buy its own debt, which is kind of goofy, but possible, but they can't buy the debt of other city agencies. So what the mayor proposed was he wants the laws to change to allow Chicago to be able to do that, and the thought is that he would then go and buy debt from Chicago Public Schools. The problem is CPS isn't in great financial condition, and neither is the city of Chicago. So that puts the city of Chicago, which is already kind of on the edge on where our debt rating is, definitely on a downgrade.
Because the city would be borrowing or would be loaning, essentially, or giving an IO, what would it be, loaning money to CPS. And then
right.
both
and
of their credit is already
is bad.
Bad.
Yeah, so you'd be giving money to something that has a low, right, high risk, so you're a lower probability of being repaid. And then that reflects on what the city has and what the city holds. So it lowers the credit for the city as well, and it gets to be really, really complicated. Now, what it does do is it allows the city of Chicago to maintain control of the Chicago Public Schools. Because right now, there is something else going on, I think, where Governor Rauner has come out and said he's concerned about Chicago Public Schools. He thinks it's something that, you know, needs to be fixed. The institution needs to be addressed. And if that CPS can be found in financial difficulty by the Illinois State Board of Education, then technically the state could come in and take over control of the CPS.
Ooh.
And try to change things around.
Right.
So it's possible. I know, it gets very confusing now.
Well, the governor has said that he, you know, that a property tax might be a way out of this, and school declaring bankruptcy for CPS.
Declaring bankruptcy, exactly. And neither route, which the CPS or the Chicago, and Mayor Emanuel doesn't really want to do either of those things. So this becomes an entire positioning on really who controls the fate of the CPS and how do they get themselves out of this fix. Rauner would really like to see the CPS then have to reorganize and get better situated and get on better financial footing and really just do a massive overhaul to make them more efficient. The mayor does not want to see someone from the state come in and take over Chicago Public Schools. He thinks that it should be firmly under the mandate and supervision of the city. And so he's doing this to circumvent that so that he can try to get around any financial problems that would allow the state to potentially poke their nose in.
Okay. Does it make the city worse off, though, in the long haul if they do go through with this plan? Because some people are saying this is similar to what Puerto Rico did, where it was also lending to different government agencies, and it allowed
right.
its financial strife, its difficulties, to go on much longer and get much
it
worse.
It did, and it compounded it. So in Puerto Rico, that was a situation where you had a lot of different agencies that were in rough financial shape. They weren't run efficiently. They weren't collecting enough revenue. And so they just weren't good businesses, So as public entities, they existed, but in terms of running efficiently, they weren't there. And because they could all loan to each other and buy each other's debt, that extended the problem. So I don't think that the city of Chicago and Chicago Public Schools are quite as dire as Puerto Rico. And again, this ability to buy other cities, the other agencies in the city, the housing authority, et cetera, other cities can do that. They can buy debt from their sister agencies. But in Chicago, we can't. So It can happen successfully elsewhere. Unfortunately, in Puerto Rico, where it was able to happen, that was not such a successful outcome.
Yeah.
And I don't think Chicago's that bad. But
okay. Yeah, but I don't see this as a good way out. I just don't. Maybe I'm crazy.
Kind of patchwork.
We got to run here.
No, you are.
I am crazy, but I'm telling you, I know the mayor's getting all mad at me about this now, but I don't care.
This is really tough because this is going to make we're fighting two things. We want to protect our kids. We want the Chicago Public School District. We want the schools to open.
Yeah.
We want things to be run as efficiently as possible. At the same time, we don't want the city of Chicago to get into any worse shape than it already is. And so by issuing this debt and having the city of Chicago buy it, that puts an extra burden then and just layers it onto the city.
Okay.
Susan, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Susie Sunshine. Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Susan.
My pleasure.
All right, there she goes. I.
Sometimes knowing the answer doesn't make you feel better.
No, it makes me feel worse.